Hey, thank you guys so much for checking out this audio recording. My name is Rocky. I'm one of the pastors at Sandals Church, and I'm here with my wonderful wife, Nicole.
Hey, everybody.
And today we are talking about this idea of serving your spouse. I mean, I really like talking about this because I think, especially when we think about young marrieds, this idea of serving your spouse is like, well, I mean, especially in, you know, that honeymoon phase, it's like, well, duh. Like, you know, I mean, you think about when we first got married and this idea of like serving each other, like that was super easy to do. You know, the first few months of being married, the first few weeks of being married, it was like, oh yeah, you know, if I'm on the couch and we're sitting there watching a show and my wife is like, hey, you want to, you know, you'd say, hey, you want to, you know, get up and grab me a glass of water? Yes. Yes, I do. Yeah, absolutely. Like, I totally want to serve you. You're giving me the raised eyebrows right now. What's going on?
Well, I didn't even have to ask you to do stuff. So there's a difference. You're skipping ahead a few months. Honeymoon, it was like, let me get up early and make you a cup of coffee and let me learn to play guitar so I could serenade you. And let me.
I did do that.
You did do that. Yeah. Let me come in the bathroom while you're getting ready every morning for work and do devotions with you.
Yeah. I try to like anticipate like what you might want or what might make you happy. And then, yeah, you're right. Like as kind of the months rolled by, then it became like something that we would ask for, like, hey, you don't do this as much anymore. And, you know, I think it's like, it's really easy to do those things in the beginning of your relationship. Right. Like, and it's not just like, oh, like if I do this, I'm going to get X, Y, or Z out of this. It's just like, oh my gosh, it's like that puppy dog love. Like you're so excited to have your person, to be in this new situation, this new relationship, living together, especially if you didn't live together before. Right. And it's this honeymoon phase. Right. But then the problem is we even have a term for this is the honeymoon ends. Right. All of a sudden, the honeymoon stops. Doing things for each other becomes more of a chore than it is something that you're looking to do all the time. And so today we're going to be talking about this idea of serving your spouse. So I'm really excited. In the studio with us, we have our good friends, Colin and Mindy Gillen. Why don't you guys introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Mindy, and Colin and I, we've been married for 20 years, almost coming up in June. We've been attending Sandals Church since 2000. And
so you were here before Pastor Matt.
No, I was still in high school when he started Sandals, but was a student at CBU when and went to Cal Baptist while he we were at the gym for church. But we've been married 20 years. We're both school teachers, have two kids, and we currently serve as the marriage leads at the Menifee campus.
Yeah, you do. Awesome. I started going to Sandals because there was this girl that went there, and she said if I wanted to hang out with her on Sundays, that's what I had to do.
Oh, there you go.
So that's what I did.
Well, Rocky started attending for random girls that might be there.
Wow. It's okay. We got to tell everybody.
Holy Spirit led. Spirit led, right?
I met the girl. It just took a few years. Yeah. But man, I love this idea of serving your spouse. And actually, the reason that Colin and Mindy are here today is because I was texting them. We were texting back and forth. And I was saying, hey, do you guys want to be on this new recording we're doing? And they're like, yeah. And I threw out a couple ideas. Like, hey, we could talk about this, or we could talk about this, or we could talk about serving your spouse. And as soon as I sent serving your spouse, Mindy like texted me back right away. She goes, oh, we should totally do serving your spouse. Colin rocks at that. So Colin, like hats off to you, but tell.
Residential expert. Yeah.
It definitely wasn't always that way though. I mean, you guys talk about the honeymoon phase. And so we dated long distance. And so.
3.5 years.
Yeah. Dang. On day six of the honeymoon, that was the longest time we'd ever been in the same place together.
Oh, wow.
So, and our honeymoon was 6 days long. Mm-hmm. And then we came home and had to figure out how to do life together. And like you said, initially, it was kind of a cakewalk, really. It was fun. It was doing all these things with the person that you wanted to be with the most. It was awesome. And then the months roll on and things start to, you know, you get into your routines and things. And it's not so much that you forget or decide that you're going to stop serving your spouse. You just, the routines change and you have to actively do that. And for many years in our marriage, that was just something that I didn't do very well. And I don't know if I can point to a specific aha moment, realization, you know, spirit revelation or anything like that. It just all of a sudden, was something that, and I think it was probably we got into a rut in our marriage where it wasn't, And I think I used this term a few times. I just feel like we're roommates. And it got to that point. And a lot of that was because of, you know, the spiritual inequity in our relationship. On my end, there was definitely a time where Mindy was absolutely the spiritual leader in our house. And I was just kind of might as well have been just one of the kids along for the ride. But that has changed. And I think as that changed, my recognition of the call to serve and my joyful implementation of that began to change the dynamic of our marriage a lot.
Yeah. You know, before we started recording, we were kind of talking about this idea of there's two different speeds in marriage, right? And the problem is that one is first gear and the other one is not second gear, it's reverse. And this idea that really it's there's either serving each other or being selfish. And selfish kind of pulls away from the marriage. It creates fights and arguments. It fuels fights and arguments. And then serving does the opposite, right? Like it calms things down. It restores order. It makes us feel loved and cared for and appreciated and feel like our home is a safe place. And I love that you're talking about how you went into this season of really selfishness and you're sticking your tongue out. I love that. But being selfish with your time and your energy and your efforts, what flipped that for you?
So
or should we ask Mindy this?
What
flipped it for Colin?
I feel like, so we were really young when we got married. I was 22, he was 21, and that's not super common anymore. And so I think that's just an implementation is you're taking care of yourself, you know, you're trying to get things done. And then, oh, now there's this other person in my life that I have to kind of take care of as well, or at least, you know, pay attention to their needs. You can't just go, I'm so task oriented that I get into a routine and it's like, oh, there's people I'm supposed to pay attention to along the way. And I think too, not having someone to model that for us, because both of us come from broken homes. Both of our parents have been divorced. And so there was, we had to intentionally seek out marriages that were not like the ones we saw growing up. And that's kind of where small group came into play, I think. With the Tastics, Jim and Martina were some of our first small group leaders that were significantly older than us in the sense that they just had wisdom that they could share with us in regards to how the same things, young marriage and really young marriage, fun story. And then as they grew up, figuring that out as well. And so having that wisdom from couples from Sandals that fed into us played a big part in that. And then for me, I feel like once we started intentionally taking Bible study classes like the dynamic marriage or the love language and some of the different classes that Sandals had to offer, I'm a nerd that loves to just, I will read anything. I want to learn everything. I'll listen to whatever I want to. I just want to grow in that. I may not be able to apply all of it at once, but I'm always kind of thirsty for figuring out new things and then telling him how to do it. Cause like, hey, there's just this really great book. You should read this.
Here you go. This would fix you.
And so, yeah. And so
in the stack of other books,
as I learned
gonna read.
To not be that dripping faucet, like I'll tell someone else, hey, you should tell Colin, he should do this. But no, I feel like just as we kind of matured in our relationships separate as Christians, we were able to come together and have hard conversations. And a lot of times you learn those lessons from hard things that you go through. And I mean, I don't know how much time we have to be able to talk about all of those, but I just feel like as we became like, hey, we're intentional about being together and being real, that that just sort of, I don't want to say it happened naturally, but you had those hard conversations.
Yeah, she mentioned something about the love languages.
Yeah.
And so there, from my perspective, what really changed for me was the love languages and being equipped with the knowledge of those things. I mean, we got them the first time after only being married a couple of years, but that wasn't something that I implemented quickly. But for some reason, it just kind of stuck in my mind and I was able to pull it forward on occasion, you know?
Yeah. And can you tell, what's the main idea of the love language?
So that we each give and love, give and receive love differently.
Yeah.
And that my love language is different than my wife's love language, and the way that I show it to her isn't necessarily the way that she wants to receive it or that she feels like she's receiving it. And so it required study of your spouse. Like we know ourselves pretty well, but we need to study our spouse and the love languages, number one, and then the Enneagram, like both of those things were just huge changes for us, but especially for me, because I just couldn't figure out. And Matt has said this before, like, I don't understand why she does the things that she does when he's talking about Tammy. Mm-hmm. But like, I don't understand why she does it. Why does she not think like I do? It's so much easier if she thought the same way that I do.
It would be.
Yeah.
I think it should be known that you're wearing your FOMO Enneagram 7 shirt today. Just, you know.
Yeah, but I love the combination of the Enneagram and the love languages, mm-hmm. because it's asking the question like, how does the other person want to be loved? But then also like, who are they and what makes them tick? Which gives you like this great like cheat code into like who they are and how to love them and care for them. So you're not spinning your wheels, like trying to love them the way that you want to be loved and they're feeling like, you know, nothing, anything really.
Yeah. Okay. So you talked about what serving your spouse looked like at the beginning of your marriage, mm-hmm. how it was exciting and fun. You were learning each other, kind of playing house after being apart during your whole dating environment, right? Super fun. And how kind of not just, I want to point out, like, selfishness doesn't have to be deliberate selfishness. It could just be apathy and just mm-hmm. pursuing your life and building your life together. Yes. And you kind of just lose track. And it's not necessarily deliberate that you just stop loving on your spouse by serving them.
Yeah.
But there's two common misconceptions when it comes to serving your spouse. One is the, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. So I'm doing this to get something from you. And then the other is the concept of a 50-50 marriage. Mm-hmm. Like, we each put in, you know, an equal amount, but they call it 50-50. So when in your marriage have you seen either of those kind of take place? When you're serving from a place that necessarily isn't correct, have you done the, I'm doing this so that she'll do this for me? Or have you done, you know, I'm going to give this much and I expect him to meet me in the middle?
Sure. Well, Rocky made a good point about the whole 50-50 thing that's just stuck out to me of the fact if you're only giving 50%, then where is that other 50% going? That was kind of a big deal. And so like having that idea of I'm putting in all of my effort to you with the anticipation that if you're putting all of your effort into me, then we're both getting our needs met. If you're, and like you said, it becomes a rut, like sometimes when you're, you know, full-time jobs and you have two kids. And at one point we were both coaching sports as well at the schools we were teaching at. And so like the days flew by and we're like, what happened today? And so, like you said, it definitely can be unintentional to be selfish. For example, like the most recently I can think of when I was working on my master's, and it was extremely stressful. In the same time, we decided, oh, we're going to sell our house. And then, oh, we're still, you know, working full time and we have two kids. And it became like we had to have a hard conversation because he said, you know, when I finished, he said, you know, we haven't had sex, but like maybe 5 times in 6 months. And I was like, oh my goodness. Like you said, it becomes so much routine that you don't even realize it. And if you don't have those hard conversations, nothing's going to get changed. It's not going to fix. And so we've done that several times. And for a long time, and until we figured out with the Enneagram, like our personality styles, we really felt like I was being attacked or he was being attacked instead of, this is how I feel. And once we were able to kind of shift the way we spoke to one another, I feel like, and you can chime in if you feel differently, but then it felt like it was more of a conversation of, hey, we're on the same team. How are we going to improve our marriage by having these hard conversations instead of just me ending by crying and feeling terrible about myself because I'm a one and I have to do everything perfect. And so it's like, oh my gosh, how could I have done this better? And so after, like, even after that particular hard conversation, we had already kind of started studying one another in our Enneagram styles. And once I recognized, like, oh my gosh, like I have to find balance. And if he really truly is my, you know, number one human priority, then I need to be investing in him more. And I'm really, like I said, I'm really good at that whole task oriented thing. And so I have to stop many times and reshift to focus on how can I serve my spouse?
Yeah. Cause it's definitely something that doesn't come naturally. Mm-mm. It's something you have to develop and mm-hmm. build. But it's also like, I love how you talked about, you know, being able to have those hard conversations, Because when you both realize that you're both for each other, mm-hmm. those conversations, they're still hard.
Agreed.
But there's so much more trust in those conversations because it's like, okay, we're having this conversation because I want us to be in a better right? place, because I want you to enjoy this more and I want to enjoy this more.
Yeah.
And so I think that's just a really cool thing. You know, one of the things that we were thinking about as we were getting ready for this is like, what does the research say? And it was really interesting because you've heard of like this, the 7-year itch, right? That people get, yeah. in fact, most divorces happen within the first 7 years. And all the psychologists say that it takes about 9 years of marriage to move into a significantly less selfish view of your marriage and a more servant-based view, which is really the model that Jesus leaves us with. I mean, Jesus wasn't married, but Jesus is, you know, if you study him as a leader, if you study him as anything, you always see that he was a servant first, that he was always caring for and leading and taking care of the needs of other people. And so when we look at marriage, like in as Christ followers, we should be looking at how do we model that same idea of serving each other. And so really, like as we kind of come closer to the end of our talk right now, I'd love for you guys to just share maybe some really nuts and bolts ways of serving each other. You know, I think a lot of, especially as we're talking to young married couples in this video or in this recording, a lot of them maybe don't know how to serve each other or are stuck in the, I keep serving my spouse this way and they don't appreciate it. How do I move forward from there?
Yeah. And just to pipe in real quick and say, I think a lot of times in marriage, especially Christian marriage, we can view serving each other in very traditional ways. And I know, Mindy, you sent us a message, in our group message, that you were mowing the lawn and Colin was cooking
dinner,
which is awesome because a lot of times, you know, and Rocky has learned me because he's studied me because I'm his spouse.
Right.
I don't want like flowery, romantic, that's not my love language. And so while it is nice and thoughtful, I don't feel served mm-hmm. when he tries to love me in that way and call it service. And so like keeping that in mind.
Sure.
Because it's not one size fits all for every marriage and how we feel served.
Yeah, I think one of the things like to preface before I jump into my answer is putting your socks in the hamper instead of on the floor, that's not service. Mm-hmm. Like that's just you being an adult and not being, you know, a 14-year-old boy or a 7 or 8-year-old boy or whatever it might be, right? So those little things, those don't, at least in my mind, maybe in another marriage's mind it might, but in my mind, those things don't qualify as service. The things that, and again, I don't know if there are show notes or whatever for these podcasts or anything, but the 5 Love Languages book. And then for anybody that hasn't gone through the Enneagram, you know, absolutely get your hands on
oh, yeah.
a link to take that.
Yeah. We'll make sure we include
yeah.
that on.
Yeah. 10 of books.
But yeah, I mean, his needs, her needs. Yeah. And so there's all sorts of different things, but as far as the, one of the things that I tend to do, because she is a one and loves her lists, is I say, what can I take off your list? Because that's deliberate.
And how can I get on it?
And sometimes okay. I ask how I can get onto her to-do list. I love it when I'm on her to-do list. But so I will, that's one of the things that I will do is I will say, what can I take off of your list for you?
That's speaking her language.
And again, that is something that I arrived at over time. That's probably only been within the last 3, 4, 5 years that I've even said that because it never dawned on me before. I just, why is she so worried about checking all these boxes? And here I am sitting over here, you know, just being pissy because I just want to have fun all the time. And that doesn't help anything at all. So that's one thing that I do. And then, you know, you mentioned the message that she sent when I'm mowing the lawn and Colin's in cooking. That's one of the things that I take joy in doing that. I love cooking for my family. She loves eating my cooking.
Yes.
And so it became a natural rhythm where it is still service, even though, and I don't know if she would use the word expect, but it's still service, even though I do it the vast majority of the time. Mm-hmm. It's still a way that I serve her and serve our kids by extension, but that's something that we have found things that fit within the rhythms of our relationships. And, you know, just being recognizing your spouse. Again, you know, you mentioned Rocky studying, you recognizing, oh my gosh, you have a different mood that you've walked in the door with.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll go get the kids today. Because you just recognize those things because you're not worried about what you are not getting or what you need or what you want, but you see your spouse and what is happening with them because you care to look at them rather than what you want, need, et cetera.
Yeah, I think a big part of it too, maybe just to, if you don't know, ask. Sometimes it's like, I don't know, but then sometimes, yeah, you just know. And like I said, I love keeping things clean and such. And so mowing the lawn was fun. And then he'll even say, are you sure? Like, I feel bad that I've cooked and then I just leave all this for you to clean. Like, this makes me feel like I'm not doing nothing. Like, I'll clean up dinner. We're, you know, Team Gilliland and he cooks, I clean. And
yeah, no, that's awesome. And I love that you said ask.
Yeah.
And I remember it was just a few years ago, Nicole and I were in the kitchen and I came in, I could see that she's frantic and she's busy and, you know, things are not working well. And I said, hey, how can I help? And she looked at me like a deer in the headlights. And she's like, how do you even need to ask? Can't you just see?
Yeah, that's hard.
And it was, we actually had a great conversation. Mm-hmm. I said, no, mm-hmm. I don't. I don't know what you're in the middle of working on. I don't know what you're pushing to the side. I don't know what like is on fire and I need to jump in on. Mm-hmm. And since then we've had some really great conversations. Yeah. And I've been able to serve her better, you know, from little things. Like, I mean, she puts mostly me or the kids, leave things downstairs and clutter the house, she puts them on the stairs. And so I thought for the longest time, if something's on the stairs and it's not mine, then it's not my problem. Like, you know, that's just, hey, if it's yours, you need to grab it and take it up. And if it's not yours, just leave it. And we just had a conversation. She goes, no. She goes, like, I would feel really loved and cared for if you would just grab it and take it upstairs. Like, if you see it, take it. And that was something that, you know, like she thinks, oh, that's common sense. And I think just a completely different way. And it's not that either one of us are right or wrong. It's just we view the world differently. We look at things different.
And communication is just so important because honestly, like
us,
women or men in your roles don't want to have a conversation when your house is on fire. Yep. Like, you don't want to have to sit and explain to people what would be helpful to you. It's like just literally look around, scan the room, pick up any, you know.
Yeah.
But it's like him asking me to scan his office space and know what needs to be done. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be able to do it. Yeah. And it was, I responded emotionally in the moment, but it was an unfair ask. He was trying to be kind. I responded because the house was on fire. But now he knows.
Yeah.
Like how you say, what can I take off your list? He says, what can I do to help you right now?
Yeah.
And that's super helpful, you know, just to ask. I think that's such a good place to start with your spouse. If you're not in the habit of serving each other, just to start with that conversation. How would you feel more loved and how can I serve you? What would be helpful?
Totally.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I love it. You know, we've been friends for several years. I love just getting a glimpse into your life and you both work a lot. You both serve each other well. But I think there's also this other population of people that exists in our church of people where one spouse works and the other one doesn't work outside the home or doesn't work full time outside the home. And so there's this other expectation that, oh, my service to you is providing financially for us. And I think that's definitely a version of service. That's a way that we serve each other, absolutely. But it's never the only way that we serve each other, right? So I work full-time outside the home. My wife, for the last, year, has been home with our kids, which is a lot of work. We have four terrorists.
Yes.
But my service to my wife and my family doesn't end when I walk in the door.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't end when we cash the paycheck. In fact, it really begins there. And I love, you know, coming in and hopping in and joining her as she's, you know, cooking dinner, or washing the dishes or, you know, whatever it is. Cause it also creates an opportunity for us to spend more time together.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times serving each other doesn't have to look like doing things separate, but doing things together.
But Colin mentioned it too. Serving your spouse is seeing your spouse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you walk in and you acknowledge my existence. You come and hug and kiss me. You say, hi, honey, how was your day? You know, whatever. you're not just saying, what do we need to get done? Like, yeah. You see me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I want to serve you so that we could spend more time together.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's that I scratch your back, you scratch mine. Yeah.
No. I just want to be with, I like you. I just want to hang out.
Can we wrap everything up quickly so we can have time together?
Yeah. I think one of the things too that I have in my little circle prayer book that you gave me when we were going through that book in our group, the idea of being present, like you can be physically somewhere and not be mentally somewhere.
Mm-hmm, right.
So being present is an important thing. And being present with her when I go, hey, what can I do? Can you just hang with the kids for a minute so I can finish this? Absolutely. And I'm not doing anything for her necessarily.
Feeling my heart, right?
But I am.
On my kids.
Because now she can put her attention on doing whatever it is that she needs to do.
Definitely. So young marrieds, man, we want to encourage you. Young marrieds, old marrieds.
Married.
Recently married forever, whoever you are. Man, first communicate well with each other, talk about the things and guys and girls both, like we're not picking up what the other one's putting down. Mm-hmm. If you think you're laying hints, you're not, your spouse probably is not understanding them. We don't lay hints down the same way. Be clear and direct. Yep. That's loving and caring.
Kind.
It's setting your spouse up for success and it's setting you up to enjoy your marriage more. It was just a beautiful thing. Listen, marriage done right is one of the greatest gifts. It's a beautiful gift that God has given us. And the opportunity to serve each other creates a relationship that you're going to love and enjoy so much more. So dive into it. Enjoy your spouse. Have fun together. Serve each other and have fun. Let me pray for us as we wrap up. Father God, thank you so much. Lord, for Colin and Mendy, thank you for having them, our friends, and that they got to join us today. God bless their marriage and be with them. Lord, and for our young marrieds and anyone else who's listening to this, God, would you do a work in our marriages? Lord, would we see, God, just the beauty of our spouse the way you see? God, would we be excited to serve each other? Lord, would we be motivated to outserve each other for the good of our marriage, for the good of our spouse, and also for our enjoyment? God, that we could enjoy modeling what you have set before us, Lord, the example of Jesus in loving our spouse. Jesus, we love you, we thank you, and we say all this in your name. Amen.
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 Amen.